Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hallelujah, he is risen. That's not good enough, is it? It's just unacceptable. Hallelujah, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, thank you. Now we're getting somewhere. I am going to need some, we're going to need some of that because the kids are in today. I promise. I'm not in the talk, is he? Like, absolutely terrified. In the room, I'm going to try and not take too long. But I am going to need some, we're going to need to be awake and full of life this morning, otherwise I won't enjoy it more than anything else. But we need to glorify and honour the Lord this morning. This is by far our most important day of the year. It's a wonderful day. It's a day of celebration. Easter weekend is always a weekend of great rejoicing. And so that is what we're doing this morning. Kids, I promise it won't be too long. If you want to start, you know, doing this, you can, feel free. But this morning we celebrate, don't we? I hope that's in your heart this morning. We celebrate the day that the world changed forever. Jesus, we know, died on the cross, and on the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. To live forevermore, and is alive and well this morning with us. Wonderful truth. Sometimes preachers, when they're sort of preparing a message or a sermon, and then they deliver it, it's almost like a conductor with an orchestra, and you start with this over here, and then this gets brought in, and then, you know, a bit of the wind, and then a bit of this, and then it comes together and builds into this beautiful crescendo sort of moment. You're looking at me thinking, yeah, right. Like, I said some preachers, I didn't say me. I said good preachers, that's what they'll do sometimes. And this morning, I've just got none of that in preparation for this. It's like if I was the conductor, it'd just be everyone, brass, wind, percussion, all at once. And it would just be this. This is all I really got in thinking about this morning, is life. Life. Matt just prayed it. Life. That's what this morning is all about. So we're going to look at that. We're going to get a lot of John, from John's Gospel. He's going to speak to us a lot, and in Revelation as well, because it was him who wrote that and had the wonderful vision that he had. And in Revelation 1, verse 18, it says this, or actually from 17, it says, "When I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the living one.'" Life. "I am the living one. I died." Truth. We know this to be true. Historically, the world knows. "I died. But look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and of the grave." And incredible start, isn't it? "I am the living one. I died on Friday. On the third day, look, I'm alive again forevermore." And keys, I've got some here, look. Do you know what these are, guys? Right? You can say keys, that would be an obvious answer. These, they're a symbol. And Jesus says here, he says, "I hold the keys to death and the grave and life, therefore." And these are a symbol of authority. Do you know what authority is? Kids? Anyone? All right, what about... So these are a symbol. Jesus says, "I hold these keys to death and life." So think about who's in control. That's what these represent. Who's in charge? That's what that represents. So let's have a think. Go around to the kids. Lucy, eating your chocolate. Who's in charge of your class at school? Mr. Hilsden. And what about you, Elise? Who's in charge of your class at school? Who is it? You. Is it a Mr. or a Mrs. or a Ms. or who is it? Who is it? Mrs. Craven. Oh, close. And what about, who's in charge of the whole school, Lucy? Mrs. Rainford. Sorry, Bobby, I didn't ask you a question. Yeah, so Mrs. Rainford. What about the current men's England football team? Anyone? Who's in charge of that? Who's in charge? Come on. Who? Gareth Southgate. Thank you. So he's in charge of that. Anyone else? Who's in charge of the country? Who's the Prime Minister? I knew that would get a response. Anyone know the name? Come on, Kit. Come on. Oh, you've all gone to pot this morning. Rishi Sunak. Thank you, Jimmy. And Harry. What about at home? Who's in charge at home? I knew you'd say that. That's why I chose it. Mummy and Daddy, right? They hold the keys at home, don't they? They're in charge. And I suppose most importantly, who is the Chief Commissioner of the PGA Tour? Come on. This is Jay Monahan. The golf. You've got to know these things. It's the highest, best sport there is. We should know these things. He's in charge, Jay Monahan. But who, the Bible is telling us, who's in charge, who holds the keys, think about this, kids, to life and death? No, not me. That's for sure. Jesus holds them. Supreme authority. He holds the keys to life and death. In John's Gospel, chapter 11, we read this. This is the Lazarus story. We can't go into it because I've said we'll be short. But Lazarus dies, and he's there with Mary and Martha. And Martha says, if you'd been here, you could have saved him. And she says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And then Jesus just interrupts with truth. And he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the headline this morning. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked her. And she said, oh yes, I believe who you are. I see you. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus declares. And later on, in chapter 14, verse 6, famously again, we know, he declares, stunning statement, says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one gets to God. No one comes to the Father except through me, because he holds the keys. He is in charge of all of these things. And so we ask often, and we do this, don't we? The world around us has done for generations. What's the way? What's the truth? What do I do in life? What's the source of life? How do I find fulfillment? And you don't have to go far from small things to big things, from complicated skincare regimes to the latest diet, or to Ben Fogle, if you watch him, with New Lives in the Wild. People looking. I'll be happy if I do this. I will find it if I go here. Or indeed, secularism and our search for the answers within that, or all religions. And then Jesus stands, and he is the only one who has the keys. He transcends them all. He transcends them all, because he is life. Only him. And we look around, don't we? We've had a beautiful weather this spring weekend, and it's spring, and everything is bursting back into life, isn't it? And it's amazing. You literally just drink it in, don't you, this time of year. It feels like it's been dark for years. And now it's light, everything's budding and it's blossom, and it's wonderful. And it's a great picture of life. And then we have this truth again from John, the first chapter in verse 3. It says, through him, Jesus, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Why? Because he's in charge. He is the supreme authority. All life comes from him. We can try as hard as we like. Bobby could make me the best little figure or thing or beautiful thing, but no matter how hard I try, or we breathe and breathe onto it, I cannot bring life to it, can we? It remains, cardboard and sellotape and straws or whatever it is. But I cannot breathe life into it. There is only one, and it's Jesus. effortless authority. Matt prayed that in the prayer meeting this week, and I sort of laughed as we were praying. It's like, what a statement. Jesus stands with these keys, and he made everything that we see with effortless authority. No one challenged him. He didn't find it difficult, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Beautiful to think upon. And so we think about life then. You think about this life. And you come to the Bible, and it's like we can say, what do you want to talk about? I want to learn about life. And the Bible just says, here, let me point you to Jesus. Life. And in Revelation 22, we get this, and this, I love this, it's one of my favourite scriptures. Right at the end of the Bible, at the end of John's vision, he gets to this point of his vision, and an angel, it says, he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that moment? And don't you just thirst as you listen to those words, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, and you just want to cup your hands into it and drink, as all humanity does, in all the ways it searches for this river. And the Bible says, and I saw it. And where was it flowing from? From God. It was flowing from him. You think about a river source. You inevitably head up, don't you, into the hills or wherever the source of, and it turns and comes down into a river. I love the idea here of John, sort of in this moment, seeing the throne and the Lamb of God, sort of wanting to peer around the back somehow as to where is this coming from? This river of life, clear as crystal, flowing from God. Life, it is in Jesus. And that is why we stand here this morning and celebrate him. It flows from him. It's who he is. And without him, there is no life. He is the very source of it. It's why Peter says in his address in Acts, it says, God raised him up. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Isn't that good? Why? Because of these. He died. He physically died. But death could not hold him because he is life. And so on the third day, he rose again. And the stone was rolled away, and he goes out with a big smile, no doubt, breathing in fresh air, and says, when he sees everyone, go and tell my brothers and sisters what happened. Family now. But it could not hold him. It was not possible to hold down the one who holds keys to death and the grave. And so what does all of this morning, and me saying all of this, thinking about life and how that is Jesus, what does that mean for us? Why are we here? Well, there's a really great answer to that. And we could all go around now and say, why did Jesus come? And all the theologians would say, right, well, he came for these reasons. And we'd all get right answers, of course, of everyone. But here we have just clear words. Again, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking, he says, this is why I came. I came that they, which is you and I, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you know what abundant is, Lucy? Do you know what it means to have something abundantly? You die. You do, you're being shy. It means lots and lots and lots and lots. And Jesus says here, Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, with this river flowing from himself, he says, I've come to give you that. I've come to give you life. And I've come to give it in abundance. That is why he came. He said it clear as day. So this morning is about celebrating what he did. It's about celebrating the fact that death, it was not possible for death to hold him any longer in the grave. But it's also about us receiving what that means for us. It's what he's just told us. This is why I came. And so he wants us to receive that abundance of life. What is it we are to do this morning? To receive, to embrace new life. Jesus is the life. I have life now. We all have life. that the teaching of the New Testament, why Jesus came, is to give us new life. Now, this gets me really excited, because I need this, because I know who I was born, and I know what I'm like, and we haven't got time to talk about sin and all of that, but I know I need new life, not the one I had for so long. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, we have this incredible, strange almost really, exchange with Jesus and Nicodemus, and he says this in it, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Everyone knows this. People out in the world know this saying, born again Christian. But if you think about it, Nicodemus was fair to sort of say, what do you mean? I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. Can I get back into my mother's womb and be born again? I don't know what you're talking about. But what he's talking about, we haven't got time, is he's talking about the fact that all of us, if we are to see the kingdom of God, we must experience new life, something different to the one we were born with, one that only Jesus with his keys can give us. And the Bible's really clear, if we believe in him and we come and we give our lives to him, we will have new life. Again, where's that river? I want to plunge into it and drink and drink and drink, and it flows from him. And we must die our own death. It's what baptism's about. It's why all of this is linked together. We must die our own death and be raised again to new life. That's what being born again is all about. And it is a strange saying, and it's obviously one of those things that rolls off the tongue of lots of people and say, oh, are you a born again Christian? And I remember I was on site years ago when I lived in Liverpool. We were working in Culture, just outside Warrington, actually. I remember the road from Culture Drive, big long drive, and I remember the moment we were sort of lifting a steel beam from a crane into a roof that we'd stripped, and we're all chatting away and guiding it in, and all these guys who, you know, were proper lads on a building site from Liverpool, it was great, and we're chat. Someone obviously said something to me, and I, one of those moments where I thought, oh, here we go, and I probably said something like, oh, well, no, actually, or, you know, I don't do that, or whatever, and they said, why? And then, oh, I'm a Christian. And then straight away, one of them said, are you a Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? And I said, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. Absolutely, I am. And that was it then. It was like, right, get the beam in. And they got the beam in, unhooked it, and it was like, right, downstairs. And all of us, there were three of them. And they said, get in the van. And I was like, what's happening? And I was like, we've driven away somewhere. And there's an old-fashioned handmade carpenter's bench and toolbox. And they said, sit on that in the back. And so I sat in the back of the van. And these three guys jumped in the front, and they all turned around and said, right, what does that mean? Tell us what on earth that's all about. And I sort of had this interview with my boss and all the other guys on site, because they said, right, sit on the box and tell us what that means. You're a born-again Christian, it's weird. And so I gave my testimony. It was incredible. I was terrified. I was locked in the back of a van and sat on a toolbox. But I said, well, you know, this is where I started. And basically, I used to be like this, and now I'm like this. And basically, I have new life in Jesus. And they sort of ummed and ahed and scratched their heads and then said, nah, rubbish. And then off they went, apart from one guy who was forever, when he was quiet, and he was the mouthiest one on site, but whenever it was quiet, he'd call me, and he'd ask me little questions, as people do. But new life, born again, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to tell a story. Kerry would never have thought this story would make it into this point here. You want to think about the source of life, Jesus. You want to think about the source of stories, Kerry Wynn. If you're ever bored, or you see, just go up to Kerry and say, tell us a story, Kerry. He's absolutely the source of all very funny stories. Kerry tells this story, and it's honestly one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I hope it's true. I really do. But he tells a story about when Kerry used to work on site as well for years. And either in the cabins or the canteen or out on site or whatever, there was this guy that came over from Ireland. And he'd always speak with gestures, you know, do you want a drink or whatever. Never spoke. It would always just be, you know, where's the shovel? Or, you know, can you hear this or whatever? And always spoke with signs. And then one day, Kerry sort of said to a few of the guys, like, why doesn't he speak, that guy? You just assumed for ages it was because of the machinery and tools and all the rest of it. And they said, well, what happened is, right, he moved over to England when he was young, and he only spoke Gaelic. And what's happened is, he's forgotten how to speak Gaelic, but he hasn't learned how to speak English. And so Kerry's response, which is genius, is, how does he think? What does he just see, like, symbols? Or, like, anyway, an absolutely incredible story of a man who comes over, forgets one language, doesn't learn a new one, and ends up having to sign language everything. But the reason I'm telling that is because so many people actually do that with their Christianity. And it's like we come and we forget one bit, but then we never actually learn the new. We never actually then experience the new life. And so we end up essentially living this odd existence in between the two where it's like, yeah, I'll forget that quite happily. And I'll come into this, but I don't really know what it's about. And so you sort of fudge it and you speak in signs and, you know, this and this. And what you need is you need to learn the new. You need to be born again. You need new life. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense. And you end up stuck like this guy. You've forgotten that, but you haven't really learned this. Does that make sense? I really think so many Christians live there. And I don't envy them at all. It must be a horrible place to live. And so this morning, we come to a close. You may never have received new life or been born again. That may be you. You can be this morning. You may have been born again, but you know in yourself, oh Lord, I need you to breathe again, new life into me. I know I do. I know it's theologically completely flawed, but I can tell you the times I've been born again and born again and born again and born again where God has breathed life into me again, as only he can. New life. Drink it in. Drink it in. So wherever we are this morning, I'm going to encourage us to do that. And going back to good old school stuff, who wants new life this morning? Hands up. I do. I want new life. I want this life that flows from the throne. Where does it come from? How is it gushing forth like this? It just flows from who he is. He is the resurrection and the life. And so this morning we're going to sing in a minute, and I want us to do that. You can literally put your hand up if you want, or you can stand, and in your heart, whatever you want to do, you can come and say, Lord, I thirst for new life. I thirst for you. Give me a drink of that. Jesus said to me, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He knows. He doesn't have to quibble. He knows who he is. You need to come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, out of his heart, will then flow rivers of living water. This is what we need, isn't it? Otherwise, we're basically stuck like Kerry's friend. We're not doing that anymore, but I haven't got this either. And we need new life, and it needs to be real, and it needs to spring up within us and flow out just as it flows from him. So we're going to stand, Liv and the guys are going to come, we're going to sing a song, and just in your heart now, however you want to, put your hand up, kneel down, shout, sing, whatever you want to do, but if you want new life from Jesus this morning, now is your time to say, yes, Lord, I am thirsty. That river that flows, whatever it may be, wherever you are, if you thirst, come to Jesus and drink.